The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning. This is Ursula Odom, and you are listening to Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, The Power of Your Imagination with Dr. Peter James this morning. And I am one of your co-hosts, along with the awesome Anne McNeil, Master Builder, former founder of International Mastermind Association, Dr. Peter Knighton, who's the CEO of Emerge Publishing Group, and Begin, who is the CEO of Team Begin Incorporated. And again, I am Ursula Odom, owner of Sula 2 Publishing. We have an exciting show today. One of our co-hosts is also going to be our speaker, and I just mentioned his name, Dr. Peter James, but you'll find out more about him later. I'm going to allow our master builder to tell us about who she is, her aha moment, and get us started.
And good morning, Anne McNeil, the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And I am so excited. This is one of my favorite chapters. And my aha moment in the imagination chapter has to do with how do I get into the flow to use my imagination through creativity. And one of the things I'm learning from the book in the imagination chapter is that I have to be in tune through journaling and having what I call the silence of ministry, or the ministry of silence, and taking time every single day to jot down ideas that come to me, you know, that hunch, that sixth sense, that thing that just resonates, that oftentimes we're too busy and we go right by it. So my aha moment from this chapter is just taking time to connect with the creativity in the imagination chapter. And that was my aha moment, Ursula.
Thank you. And Pagim, would you share with us your aha moment?
So I love this chapter of imagination. Hi, all. My name is Pagin, and I am want you to be powerful, be you, and lead with impact, influence, and the ability to inspire others. For me, one of the big things is on page 79, which is how to transmute ideas into cash. The truth about it is that riches come, and I quote, riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. This means, for me, is knowing that we have to have a plan and we have to have a clarity of what we want to achieve. We can't just imagine it. We actually have to put down in paper and know that we're going to be living by certain principles. So that we're not just, what value are we giving, and what are we receiving in return for the value that we give? So that's part of the principles. Are you giving and are you serving? The other piece that I loved on that same page is the creator of ideas makes his own price. And if he is smart, gets it. What I know about this and what I recognize is we're tapped into an energy source. We're tapped into our mind source, and we are blessed by receiving based on the value that we want to give, but it has to come from with us. We're the ones that set the price. We're the ones that have to know what we want to receive. We're the ones that have to ask for what we want and have that expectation. So to me, this how to transmute ideas into cash is so critically important because it's also about valuing ourselves, honoring ourselves, living our principles, and having it all written down so we know what we're doing. That was for me a big aha.
Thank you. And as for me, my inspiration came from page 92 in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It says that the imagination comes in two forms, synthetic imagination and creative imagination. And for synthetic imagination, it says through this faculty, one can arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. This faculty creates nothing. Well, that shocked my system when I got to that point, because that's part of what I do. It merely works with the material of experience, education, and observation with which it is fed. It is the faculty used most by the inventor. Oh, I felt a little better about that because inventors are great. With the exception of the genius, who draws upon the creative imagination when unable to solve a problem through synthetic imagination. Then it goes on to say that creative imagination, through the faculty of creative imagination, the finite human mind has direct communication with infinite intelligence. It is the faculty through which the hunches and inspirations are received. It is by this faculty that all basic or new ideas are handed over to us. It is through this faculty that through vibrations or influences from the minds of others are received. It is through this faculty that one individual can tune in or communicate with the subconscious minds of others. So because Sula 2, we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form we can, I constantly sit down and talk to people and find out what their stories are and try to form that story or reform that story in a way that it can be introduced to the rest of the world. And I really, really like that. So when I got to the part where it said it creates nothing, well, the creative side of me just shivered. But then I realized that, okay, I do have both because I capture the information, but then I use the creative side. I use the creative side to then look for what is unique and special about the story. And by doing that, I've put together things that even the person who's telling the story sometime did not realize. There was one person that her ancestor was a former slave. And when I looked at that tree and start telling the story about who those people were, what we discovered is that the first African-American woman that chaired the school board was a descendant of this woman. The first white woman that chaired the school board in this county was not a direct bloodline descendant, but she was nannied by this person's child. And these two women, the black woman and the white woman, were friends. They knew each other, and they became the two first ever to be the chair of those of the board. And then when I looked at that tree again, I said, oh my goodness, there are three schools in this county named for people that have love connections to this former slave. And this is a fact that cannot be changed. And so being able to look at something that is stagnant and in pieces, but obviously there, but not put together. So the creative part of me is say, okay, there's a link there. And by having that aha moment, I realized that I enjoy both the synthetic and the creative imagination. And that's my aha moment. Okay. At this point, what we're going to do is allow Anne, if she's, see, Anne is always moving about and doing great things. So
yes,
I'm opening
yes,
your
I
mic,
am.
Anne, and it is your
yes,
turn, if you so choose.
Yes, I am. I think, again, though, Ursula, what you just shared, it helps us to understand the power of our imagination. And what Napoleon Hill has done is that he's helped us to understand how to connect the imagination to everything that we do. And in the book, he describes how nature is one of the best examples of the imagination at work. But then we are formed from the same energy and matter as nature, and we have at our disposal the same opportunities and abilities to create. So what I'd like for every one of us to do right this moment is think about whatever you're looking at, whether it's your phone or your device. Whether you're sitting or whether you're standing, hopefully you're clothed. Every single thing we see and touch and feel was imagined by someone. And so the question that jumped in my spirit from the rereading of this chapter is, what am I imagining to be of service to others? This show is an imagination that I had to share the principles of success from Napoleon Hill. The International Mastermind Association came out of the imagination from reading the chapter. The businesses that I own, from MCO construction to MCO consulting to constructivist speaking, the businesses that are created, the National Association of Black Women in Construction, the International Mastermind Association, were all from my creative imagination. But what I like about what he does is when you mix the synthetic and the creative together, we create something else. And so those are my thoughts, Ursula, in regards to the imagination chapter. Like I said, I think it's one of my favorite, and each one of us have used our imagination to create. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, at this point, what we're going to do is, for the benefit of our listening audience, we have pulled together a summary of 12 of the chapter definitions that was very wonderfully done by Thomasina, and that's what you're going to hear as a refresher.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that
positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Goals, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Welcome back. You are listening to Think and Grow Rich, Mastermind, the Power of Your Imagination. And at this point in time, we're going to have our co-host, Pagim Escavera. I'm still practicing her name.
Let's go by the first name.
Okay. Introduce our special guest, and she'll tell you just how special he is.
Hi, I am so excited to welcome and introduce Dr. Peter A. James. He's not only a professor of business and entrepreneurship, he's also a certified business and leadership coach who focuses on helping executives and businesses transform from average to high performing. His career has taken him from an officer in the U.S. Army to sales and marketing in a major pharmaceutical firm to various entrepreneurship ventures and, of course, higher education. In addition to being a business and leadership coach and keynote speaker, Peter also possesses a PhD in organizational and business management and a master's in business administration. He is a certified DISC assessor and holds an ACC credential in coaching. Peter, we are so excited to have you join us.
Awesome, Pagim. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate this honor, and I just can't wait to dive into our conversation this morning.
Well, let's start with that. You know, reading your background, it's very eclectic and so fascinating. Can you talk about your background and your career and experiences and what that has meant to you in terms of your expertise as a high-performing coach and speaker?
Absolutely. Thank you again for asking me. Thank you again for having me. And I love the word that you just used there, eclectic. I'm going to start using that to describe myself. So, but I have a little bit of a varied past here. I'm originally from New York City. I live currently in Chicago, Illinois, but originally from New York City. Born and raised, did my education in Atlanta, Georgia. After college, I joined the United States Army as an officer. Spent about 8 years in the Army as a U.S. Army officer. Did some time overseas. After 9/11, went over to Afghanistan for some time. Then transitioned after I left the military to corporate sales and marketing in a big pharmaceutical firm. Did that for about 10 years, survived some economic downturns, of course, decided to make a transition after that 10 years into entrepreneurship, opened my own business, but also into academia as well, pursued my education and kind of landed a little bit in education. So you're right, a little bit of a unique background, which has taught me a lot about myself, number one, but also has allowed me to help many other people in their journey, whether it is in their career or their business as they're launching business or running a business. So hopefully that's a little bit of a good synopsis.
That's a great synopsis. and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
Very much. I appreciate that. I know that we talked a little bit about you, and so here's your eclectic background. Share about who you were and the self-analysis. We talked a little bit about how you evolved as a person.
Yeah.
I think that your background is so critically important because people wonder, like, where am I supposed to go? What is life about? And, you know, I'm supposed to focus on a career, and you've done so many interesting things. Can you share about what you have found out about yourself as you have analyzed yourself?
Absolutely. Very good question. And so it's interesting. First of all, I'm not a young man anymore. And in my experiences that I've just described to you, I look at them as part of the journey of which I am still on. I still have my goals and my dreams that I'm trying to accomplish, that I'm trying to reach for, that I'm trying to stretch myself towards. But as you see, with that background, I believe I've learned a whole lot about myself, and especially lately, I've taken on more of a an introspective look at myself, and in order to analyze what I have learned, what I have taken away, and how am I applying it now moving forward. And I realize, again, that I am on a journey, that I don't know everything, that I need to make sure that I give myself time to meditate, to analyze, and to stretch myself. But even before I stretch myself to my next goal or my next opportunity, I want to make sure that I have a clear mind, that I'm meditating, that I am analyzing, that I am taking my time, whereas maybe 20 years ago I was just jumping right in. This time I am, before I just jump right in, I am taking my time, analyzing things, writing things down, and then making my move. So that's one of the biggest things that I think I have evolved in lately, and how I look to apply myself as I continue to move forward in all of my endeavors.
I love that. I love that you have invested time in knowing you. It's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And I know that Ursula is around here, and Anne, I know Anne is involved, so I want to start off with them.
I have a question. I'm curious about something I think you do in terms of high-performance coaching. What is that?
Yeah, very good question. So I am a credentialed coach. Business and leadership coach, credentialed through the International Coach Federation, which is a nonprofit organization which essentially kind of governs the coaching practice. And so I'm a credentialed coach, and my focus, my niche is on taking people, high-performing people, or people who desire to be high-performing in their career and their business, and helping them achieve those levels. I guess, self-described as always evolving and always achieving, looking for that next level. And I think as human beings, we should never be stagnant. I think God put us on this planet to achieve greatness. And here's the truth of that. Most of us do not. Most of us do not achieve our potential. And my coaching revolves around helping people in their careers or their business and maybe even in their lives to achieve that potential. This is, again, stretching outside of their comfort zone in order to get to where they desire, get to where they dream. Most of us have dreams that we never accomplish, that we just dream about, you know, that it could be something that they think is far-fetched. But, you know, as we'll talk about a little bit in Think and Grow Rich, anything that the mind can dream up can be achieved. So why aren't we doing that more often than not? And that's where I believe that my place in society is.
Wow. Now, as it relates to the book itself, how does this Think and Grow Rich resonate with, I mean, for you? How does this chapter that we're in, Imagination, how does that really resonate with you?
Yeah, so first of all, the book, I think, ties in very nicely with what I even just described about myself and even my evolution to a certain extent. I think you really, if you have not read this book and you are listening to this show, you really have to dive into Think and Grow Rich. Read it once, read it twice, read it three times, because each time you read it, you're going to get something from it that will apply directly to your journey, whatever your journey may be. But about this chapter, Pagin had even mentioned earlier a couple of things I want to definitely bring to light. I love that quote that Pagin spoke about as it relates to riches. When they come in huge quantities, are never the result of hard work. Riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. What that screams to me is that, listen, there is no such thing as luck. Luck is putting your hard work in and watching the results come about as a result of that hard work that you put in. But what I also love about this imagination chapter, I liked it, and I've made this analogy before. I liken it to a trumpet player who has been practicing for years, maybe even decades. And now he is so good, and that practice that he has had is like the synthetic imagination, which is speaks about on page 92 of the text, which I think, Ursula, that you had mentioned a little earlier. So that practice, that learning, that getting taught how to play this trumpet is the synthetic imagination. But the creative imagination part of it is when he or she is able to improvise and create melodies and create songs as a result of those years of practice and learning. And I think that's where we should all be striving for as it relates to this chapter in imagination. Whatever you can dream up, yes, put in the work, now make it happen. Now be proactive and go and dive into this work, into this plan, and that creativity will flourish as a result of it. So those are the biggest things that resulted or kind of jumped off the page for me in this chapter, in this great chapter of imagination. Yes.
Now, you're making an impact already today. There's a request to connect with you. So how, in fact, will people be able to reach you?
Wow, lots of ways to connect with me. Definitely, I have a couple of websites. I have shiftyourmindset.com. I have my other website, peteraJames.com. Probably the quickest way to get in touch is LinkedIn, Dr. Peter A. James. LinkedIn is Dr. Peter A. James, or just Peter A. James if you want to look me up. And the last way is I'm all over Instagram now. I think Instagram is the more progressive social media brand that's out there. We are a very photogenic and visual society, so I've made it a point to jump into Instagram, and also you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Peter A. James, all one word.
Thank you. And Pagim, you have some additional questions you would like to ask?
I do. So I know that you love imagination. I definitely love what you shared about imagination. Is there another chapter of Think and Grow Rich that resonates with you that you know was meant for you? As soon as you would
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. So going back to the book, just in general, all of these chapters, which were mentioned earlier, all of these chapters have really impacted my life in one way or another. And again, I encourage you, those of you listening, if you have not dove into this book, if you have not really really extracted from what this book means to your life, dive in immediately. One of the chapters that I love is the one on auto-suggestion. And the reason I love it so much, and again, this may be part of my reflection, and my introspection, my evolution, I really believe that, and I've truly seen this in myself and others, that negative thoughts really inject themselves automatically into our minds. We are conditioned as human beings. We are conditioned to see things negative first. So you look on the media, on the news, or the social media, or whatever, it's always negative stuff that gets the headlines. I have a friend of mine who works in the broadcasting industry, and his adage is, if it bleeds, it leads, which means that usually the first broadcast that comes on the news is somebody who got shot or someone who get killed. Very unfortunate, very negative. So we have to be very intentional about injecting positivity into our lives, into our mind regularly. So this auto-suggestion also goes into detail about affirmations and talking positively and thinking positively over and over again. So ultimately it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your thought process, and you are training yourself, training your mind to think positivity way before you think negativity. And most of us have negativity around us, so maybe that's even a starting place to begin surrounding ourselves with positive people. And so that's something to think about. And auto-suggestion is that chapter. I went a little long on that one, Pagim.
No, because I want to jump in on that because can you share your own personal, like what's your daily routine regarding auto-suggestion and taking care of your mind? What do you do on a daily basis? And also just share, because you did go to Afghanistan and you did were in the military and you were in a high-pressure sales environment.
Sure.
Pharmaceutical sales is really high pressure. How did your dailiness help you become who you are? So if you share about your daily plan, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's another good one. So for those listening, and even for this question here, a daily routine has to become, you have to evolve to a daily routine. And so that being said, I am still in the process of making my daily routine better. I don't think anyone ever perfects their daily routine. As an example, if I feel like I haven't been getting enough sleep in the recent few days, I am sleeping a little bit longer. If I want to make sure that I'm allowing my body to stay sharp, so I'm in the gym, I'm doing my cardio, things that need to keep mind, body, and soul as sharp. I go to church on Sunday, so it's just a constant introspection of to making sure that you are taking care of the things that are important to you. In my case, it's mind, body, and soul, because I know if I take care of mind, body, and soul, I'm going to be sharp in order to take care of my endeavors, my goals, my dreams. But that being said, one of the things that's really, really important. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go continue. I just had a comment or a question afterwards.
Okay, yeah. So the one of the things that I really, really do is my affirmations. I say my affirmations every single day, my positive affirmations about my goals and my dreams and who I desire to be, and I speak them in present tense so that my mind is trained now, going back to the auto-suggestion chapter, that my mind is trained that this is how it needs to think on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis. So thank you for that question.
Can you share those? Can you share those?
Yeah. So one of the affirmations that I have is actually I'm looking at it right now. I am the best speaker and coach combination out there. And
I
so
love
I'm
it.
telling myself I am this. And again, you repeat that enough to your mind, and you as the book talks about, you start tricking your mind into believing this. And the crazy thing about that is we usually trick our mind to say negative thoughts, and then we usually believe that. I am scratching that, and I'm going the other direction. I want to trick my mind into thinking about my goals and my dreams regularly.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Well, and along the same lines, what you made me think about is that we are in control of the things that we put into our mind. And with today's social media, that's even more intense because we can control a complete line of thought. And if it's positive, it's good. If it's not, that's a problem. And what I'm thinking about is the fact that because there's so much negative stuff, I made a conscious choice that I listen to the news when I'm in the car for the 30 minutes that I have to get to somewhere, because everything else is on a repeat cycle. So I don't have to hear that all day long, over and over and over again. And I like the fact that with, I hate calling names, but Netflix and YouTube, you can pick channels and just immerse yourself into the educational process or to look at the kinds of things that you like. In my case, it's bios. But I also realize that if a person has chosen to look at nothing but the if it bleeds, that must be devastating to their mind. But the positive side of this is that you can choose once you choose the thing that's going to help you. Your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. You said it. You said it exquisitely there, Ursula. So thank you so much for that. You know, we have to – social media can become an addiction. The news can become an addiction. Actually, I know people who are addicted to MSNBC. I know people who are addicted to going back to Instagram or to some of these social media and Facebook, social media platforms. So you have to, again, train yourself not to be sucked into this mindset of I gotta know what's going on. I gotta hear it. I gotta be in the know. And I say this because from a business and entrepreneurship perspective, which I teach, the goal of these media outlets is to get you to be addicted to it. Let me even rephrase that. The goal of these companies and media outlets is to get you to share your wallet with me. And by you listening or watching, you are allowing them to get more advertising dollars. And so you are putting more money into their pockets. We don't think about it from that perspective by any means. We just think that we're in the know now and we are more educated, or we are now not really. You're succumbing to this capitalistic business model that I like to say that we love and we hate at the same mm-hmm. time. So you have to, going back to your question or to your comment, we really have to train ourselves to pay attention to what we are digesting all around us, day in and day out. Who are you talking to? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you watching? That stuff affects your subconscious. Again, think and grow rich, right? It affects our subconscious in ways that we don't even know. And the more that type of stuff is digested, the more that it manifests itself in other areas of our life, namely our goals and endeavors, which go back to what we've digested, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, this is such a great conversation. Thank you, both of you. So talking about the media and the news and talking about high performance, the difference between those who, going after have the imagination, created a plan, moving in, when we're feeding this, I know that anger plays a huge role. When people are listening to news negativity, they get this anger. Okay, let me just share. I get this mm-hmm. anger going. And I know that I've had to just cut it off, right? And then do a process for me about forgiveness. So to cut off the anger and then forgive myself, forgive others, so that I can move in a place of these affirmations like you're talking about. And I love that your affirmation is, about your own self. Can you address two things? One is from the anger piece of they're doing it to me, they're doing it to me, they're making this happen. And the second part is honoring yourself by having big goals, big thoughts, and really thinking and growing rich in all aspects of your life. Can you talk to that, the move from anger and blame to honoring yourself through your affirmations and believing in yourself? Are you there?
We may have lost him. So what
no,
are your
I'm sorry.
Thoughts? Okay.
I'm sorry. I had put myself on mute just to make sure I didn't have any background noise coming in. I forgot to take myself off of mute. So what I was saying is that was a phenomenal question, very deep and very analytical. I have both personal and business affirmations that I say every single day, that I try to say every single day. And relative to the anger part of it, I believe that we are in control of our destiny. We have to be disciplined to be in control of our destiny. You have to be cognizant of this control that you need to be in of your destiny. You have to really be cognizant of what you are. How about this? What you are putting in your body every day to eat. Just because it tastes good, we already know about that, right? Just because it looks good on TV to watch, or it's interesting, or it catches your attention, are we going to sit around and listen to that negativity over and over again, which is going to lead to anger? So psychologists will tell you, what are you, again, digesting historically? What have you digested historically? And based on your historical analysis, what are you going to be doing now moving forward? Now, the challenge is that as you move forward, you have to be very disciplined. So as an example, if I'm looking to be high-performing, I have to conduct high-performing activities. I need to stretch myself out of my comfort zone regularly in order to accomplish those high performance goals. If you have a career that you're going after, you have to put yourself in those situations to begin moving in that career. If it is a personal goal that you are trying to achieve, you have to continue to do that. Now, the part about it is it's good to start out like that, but you have to be repetitive about that. You have to do that over and over and over again, saying no to other things that are inhibiting that goal process in order to stay high performing. So, again, to finish off, going back to your anger thing, you have to be very cognizant. Maybe even writing down some things that I'm not going to listen to, I'm not going to watch. Repeating that to yourself in an effort not to conjure up that emotion regularly, because that emotion for sure will definitely eat you up alive over time. And then you become that type of person. And we have all seen that person who just walks around and seems like they're angry, you know, just seems like they're got something going on. And that's not a good thing by any means.
Absolutely.
That was a little long. Forgive me for that.
I know you were saying such good things that are just, I don't know, I hopefully from the listeners is fueling their soul. I certainly know it's fueling mine, and that's all good.
Absolutely.
So I have a question. What's next? What does the future hold for you? What's your imagination telling you?
And with my imagination. Well, obviously, as I've been mentioning, I have my own goals and my own dreams that I'm trying to accomplish. I'm actually recently I've just have been diving into real estate, which is a big thing for me now. I'm very excited about this phase of my life that I'm entering into, and I've been diving a little bit more into investments. So you know what I am looking as I enter this phase of my life, I'm looking to become more of a well-rounded person from a personal perspective, but also from a business perspective, becoming more well-rounded. I'll say person because I want to make sure that I am the man, the father, the husband that I need to be, that my wife needs me to be, that my kids need me to be. But also from a business perspective, I want to make sure that I'm well-rounded. And again, those goals line up with my endeavors, my ethics, and all of that good stuff there. So, yeah, I'm diving into real estate. I'm diving more into investments, and I'm hoping that can parlay and very well tie into my coaching and speaking business that I run right now as well.
All right.
I just wanted to ask you a question because it's just kind of you mentioned something about high performing activities, and
you
one of the things is that career. Can you share three of the top high performing activities from your perspective that someone listening can apply so they can have the kind of career that they want to have, you know, the successes that they want to have? What are some of those high-performing activities, at least the top three that you would suggest?
Yeah. So going back into my well-roundedness, or with my goal to be more well-rounded, and even my evolution a little bit. So I will share those top three things. I think number one, you have to take care of your mind, body, and soul. Number one, before you can achieve those goals that you're trying to achieve, you got to make sure you take care of you. Because if you are broken physically, you're not going to be able to perform at a high level. If you are not sharpening your mind, self-education, I'm not just talking about going to school. If you are not sharpening your mind, you're not going to be able to take care of what you need to take care of. And then if you're not fulfilling your spirit, you're not going to be able to take care of what you need to take care of as well. So it's a balance. It's a very delicate balance, but you have to make sure that you address those areas of your life. The next one, of course, is this. The majority of people in this world settle for being average. They settle for status quo. They settle for business as usual. They're not proactive. They do what makes them feel well. The high-performing individual regularly steps out of his or her comfort zone in order to accomplish their goals. Here's a quick example. The average person goes to work for somebody every day and makes the owner, the senior leadership of that business, rich. The high-performing individual is aware of that and desires that, you know what, this is not all I can be. I can do more than this. And so I'm either going to move up into this company to be one of those senior leaders, or I'm going to start my own thing on the side in order to achieve what my goals, dreams, and desires are. Or maybe I need to step out on faith and go ahead and do that as well. So I want to become my own owner so that I can maybe employ somebody else as well. High-performing mindset. And then lastly, it goes back into your thought process. It goes back into these affirmations and these goals. Number three is going into these affirmations and goals and filling your mind with the positivity, and then also saying no to the negativity, and sometimes saying no to people's requests that don't line up with your goals and your dreams. And then all three of these things, you have to have the discipline to continue to do these over and over and over again for months, years. And the people who achieve that high achievement, that high performance, are the ones who are able to kind of balance all three of those things effectively.
It's so funny. You mentioned the word average, and it reminded me of a situation where a new family member came into our lives, and I have an adopted daughter, and so she came home one day with a C, and she was upset with me because I was upset, and she said, "Well, C is average," and I won't say exactly what I said, but I said, "Who the heck told you that C was good or average was good?" That's what I said, something about average being good. And so the reason I bring that up is that you also have to be careful about what you allow people to cause you to accept as normal.
Their normal may not be
what your normal should be.
You know, and here's another perspective there, Ursula, about that too, is something to think about. The C wouldn't be bad if she gave 120%.
True.
You know? I also say this, when I teach my students, I'll tell them that, hey, listen, a grade that you get in college does not dictate what type of success you're going to achieve in life.
Mm-hmm.
I know many.
I just got personal. I totally agree with that. But you're talking about a child that could speak like the Federal Express guy and could read like nobody's business.
Right.
Not good for her.
Exactly. So what you just said there is exactly. She did not give it her all. Absolutely. Yeah. You should have gotten on to her for sure. but what I tried to tell a lot of individuals is that work hard. Work extremely hard, plan effectively, don't procrastinate, but at the same time, as you're going through school or as you're going through your education, think ahead, think outside of the box, and how are you going to utilize this education to accomplish the goals and dreams that you desire? Because the education in and of itself will not allow you to be a success. There's still a misconception in this world. We think that the degree, the diploma, is going to give us an automatic ticket to success. And unfortunately, it is so much more than that. What are you doing with that diploma now? What are you doing with that degree? How are you allowing it to help you get to the next step? Because the next step is still a lot of work, right? So that's something
to think about
as well, yeah.
So I love what you're saying, and the honesty of knowing that this is always an ongoing experience, right? You have to take responsibility for those choices that you made that maybe weren't your highest best interest, and then sucking it up, finding through the imagination, so much of what we're talking about from this book, through the specialized knowledge and finding the specialized knowledge, through the imagination of creating what you want to go, through the auto suggestion. My mind, my soul, man, all good. Years ago, body was great. And I'm chuckling as I was listening to you, and, you know, that I deceived myself for a long time as I was playing with fire, eating the wrong things. And I mean, I played all the roles, right? I played the victim. I played the, this is just the way it is. I'm accepting it as it is. And, you know, when I finally got my little Trishy met its master, you got a problem now, right? That suddenly the specialized knowledge and the moving through all the things that you're talking about, making yourself sharp and caring what you need to take care of, suddenly became a high value.
Yeah.
And I think that that's that high desire. I mean, it's so interesting that we're talking about this today and hearing you. I don't know if it's hard work as much as passion that you don't even notice. Like, the outside world might notice it as hard work because that's their perspective. But you and Ursula and myself, other people are, and for sure, it's the passion, the sense of yourself. What you, I'm quoting you, you know, the train yourself of the mindset. I love that. And taking care of mind, body, soul is the first priority of everything. How do you make, because I know there's a lot of people here that are juggling a lot of stuff. What advice would you give for people to make their mind, body, soul a priority? Because, as you said, that is the foundation.
Well, let me even start out by saying this. When I coach a lot of individuals, I do a schematic and I draw a staircase. And I say we're all on this climb. We're all on this journey, especially the high-performing individuals. They want to keep climbing the staircase. But life throws us curveballs. It's going to. Guaranteed. Life will throw you a setback, whether it's debts or breakups or an F on your report card. It's gonna throw you some type of curveball, hands down. But now, when you have to stay on that step or maybe even take a couple of steps back, how quickly are you able to respond? How quickly are you able to recognize what's going on around you? Surround yourself with the right people. I say that because that's very important. Also, talk to the right people in order to rebound, as opposed to sitting in that mire of setback for days, weeks, and sometimes that mire of setback can lead to depression. It can lead to a lot of different response mechanisms that our body does to adjust to setbacks. How quickly are you able to respond, surround yourself with the right people, and rebound in order to make that next step to go back up the staircase? And that's the challenge right there, Pagin. That is the challenge because, again, next year it may be a physical ailment. And you have to really, hopefully by that time you've trained your mind enough to realize, hey, listen, how am I going to battle through this? Who am I going to surround myself to battle through this in order to get back on the right path? I'm not going to let this dictate my life. And I think that's what we have to adopt on this journey to high performance. We really have to be cognizant of what's going on around us and then now how we are going to attack it in order to accomplish our goals and our dreams. I hope I answered your question to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's helpful. I like that you're saying about surround yourself and Ursula and Anne and myself and our, you know, all of our hosts know that this our this particular radio show, this particular experience that we're providing is to help people know that they can connect themselves and surround themselves by people like you and others, and that we, I speak on behalf of Anne and Ursula and myself and all the other co-hosts, that we really, really want people to know that they are not alone, that this is a path that we're all on, that this is a place to be, that we want people like you to come and share your stories and be served. Right?
Absolutely. Here's another analogy about that I use a lot when I present. You know, in some major cities, if you're driving on the highway and you're driving by yourself and you look over to the left and there's a HOV lane, a high occupancy vehicle lane, and there's a big difference between you driving in your car and those individuals in the high occupancy lane. Can you guys tell me what that difference is?
More than one person in the car.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have someone in the car with them. Life is very much like that. When you're on the journey by yourself, even if it's business or personal journey, you can accomplish a lot. But you can accomplish so much more when you have the right person. And I'm not even just talking about like significant others. I'm talking about the right mentor, the right coach, the right advisor, the right team, the right friends with you along that journey, and you'll go that much faster. But when you're doing it by yourself, you make progress, albeit a little bit slowly. But when you got somebody in that car with you, you're flying. And that's the importance of having the right friends. Now, Jim Rome says you are the average of your five closest friends. Think about that. Whether it's friends or family, you are the average of them. So, you know, I want high-performing people around me.
Well, that's why you're here. Hey.
That's right. Absolutely.
I just want to encourage all callers, everybody listening, you could press #1 to join the conversation and share your questions or comments. Ursula's here. Anne's around. We are all here for you. So if you want to join the conversation, just press #1. To join the conversation for questions or comments.
Just as quickly as that, we have someone whose number ends with 3400. You have the floor to ask your question.
Yes, good morning. This is Wyman Winbush calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
good morning Wyman.
Good morning. Hey, what a wonderful program. Peter, one of the things that you mentioned a while earlier was you can trick your brain, talk about your affirmations, you can trick your brain into believing anything. Why? Because perception is reality.
Absolutely.
And given that it's Mother's Day weekend, Ursula, what you were talking about with regards to your daughter, you're training her brain. I'm not going to say tricking her brain, but you're training her brain to redefine what excellence is. And the fact that average is not part of the conversation. And I believe, I prefer to use the term, I'm training my brain as opposed to tricking my brain. We can train our brain just like an athlete trains his body. We can train our brain to seek high performance and only to accept excellence, just as a highly trained athlete only accepts the best performance. So, Peter, could you, you know, comment on that? I know in your high-performance coaching business, you may have asked Ursula's daughter, can you think of some things that you may have been able to do to get an A or a B instead of a C? You know, because in coaching, you don't want to lead the witness, but you want them to think. Could you comment on that as far as our role as parents in training our children's brains for excellence?
Yeah, very good question. Well, I mean, wow, very in-depth question at that as well. We're in the middle of the NBA basketball playoffs right now, and you know, sometimes I'm amazed as I watch some of these guys on the court. You know, and in order to be an elite NBA basketball player, you have to put in hours and hours and hours and hours and days and months and years to get that, achieve that level. Sure, that the talent alone will not get you there. There are tons of talented people, talented individuals in the NBA right now that you guys have never heard of. You only hear about mostly about the ones who have achieved that next level status. So the reason that they have achieved that next level has to do with the work they put in, but also their mindset even more so. Do they desire to be that high performing person no matter what gets in their way? So now going back to Wyman's question, I believe that we really have to train our kids to be have great work habits, to have a great work ethic. But then over time say, hey, that's just not enough. Are we training their mind to think at that high performing level so that when they do leave our homes down the road, that's their psyche. That's in their psyche. That's their subconscious. That's their auto-suggestion in their mind that's talking to them even when you're not there. And so, yes, absolutely, kudos to you, Ursula, for sure. And continue to keep telling your daughter positive, uplifting, the right work habits, the right goals, the right patterns to achieve what is ultimately going to become her part of her subconscious.
Thank you.
you remind me of something that I had to share. I have two children who are now 30, but when they were both born, my husband and I had made a decision. We were not going to pay for their college, and they were going to college. And we both, paid for college, and, we were on – we had made a decision back way years ago, that I was going to be on the long term. It took me 8 years to get my BA because I was just paying for it all. But
sure.
The kids, we said, they should go. So literally from the time they were born in my arms, I would say, you're going to go to college and I'm not going to pay for it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out all the time. And that was the message, right? You're going to figure it out. We're not paying for it. My daughter ended up applying. She got into all the military academies. She got $350,000 worth of scholarships. She, in eighth grade, wrote the Naval Academy and said, what would I need to take to get into the Naval Academy? And they sent her a packet with the plan. And she put that plan on the wall, and she said, if this is what it takes to get in here, it's the same thing I'll get to every top college, right? And she wants to go top college, so she put it out there. My son, we'll call him Floppy, he chose a whole different route. And it took years to, he ended up joining the military. It took years to go back to college, and it was a sergeant who said, fool, you are too smart to be fussing around. Go and get your college degree. So... he ended up going, to a community college and then to a college. So I just wanted to align with what you're saying, that we as parents have so much impact, and that we don't have to, and we can use our imagination to really influence them from the time they're very little to be champions. And I think that that's just a really important piece, that we can be whispering their affirmations into their ears, and so it becomes their norm. And thank you, women, for suggesting Mother's Day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wyman, that was a great question. And so many comments or thoughts came in my mind as it relates to what you just said there as well. I was thinking about, we criticize our millennials today. Oh, they're so this and they're so that, and they're all on the social media and they're so entitled. Who made them entitled?
Mm-hmm.
We did. We did this. And part of that is that what you've even described there. We pay for our kids' to do everything and go to college. And when they're finished college and they're out into the workforce, I'm not necessarily criticizing paying for college, but when we give them everything so much and they leave college and they're into the workforce or their careers or their business ventures, what are they carrying with them around that entitlement as they become young adults? And I think that's a little bit of manifestation of what we criticize today about our millennials. We did this. So it's something to think about, and it's something to say. Again, going back to what you just said, Pagin, train up a child in the way they should go, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your case, we can continue to repeat those affirmations in their ear, and before you know it, even if they don't start out the right way, they're going to finish the right way.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. They're both doing amazing.
Before we go on, Pagin has been the inspiration for something else. There's someone that wants to ask the question that knows Pagin.
Oh.
Your line is open.
No, my name is Evie.
Hey,
hi, Evie.
For being a blessing by sharing. I wanted to say something with regards. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. With regards to the influence of parents, I was just going to say I was never a parent myself. I never was able to have children. But even my father, who was not the best of fathers, he would always say that my brother, my little brother, and I were going to become doctors, always. And the story that Pagin was saying about her children really reminded me of that. Now, I did not become a doctor, although I did apply for medical school and I did get a fellowship and I did try, but my little brother did. But, you know, even though he was not the greatest father, one thing we always say that thanks to him, we are the only two in our family that went to college because he always used to tell us that we were going to be doctors. And, you know, even to this age, and we know this, I'm going to be 50 next year, and even at this age, I can remember so many of the things that both of them said in my life. And so, you know, I always tell my sister to be very mindful of what she tells the kids. And I tell my brother now has a baby, and I tell them because it has so much power over us. And so I just wanted to say that I totally agree because, you know, it has such an influence on me, even whether you did the best you could or you were the worst you think you are as a parent, that your words have so much influence on your children. And, you know, I have so many words in my head still from my parents, both good and bad. And I'm very grateful that even though my father may not have been there, there was one thing I always say, and that is I got my college degree thanks to my father.
And this
Evie,
is Ursula.
Go ahead, Ursula.
Well, I just wanted to say that what she said, it rings very loud in my own experience because the first book that I wrote was called At Sula's Feet. And when I sat down to write that book, I thought I was going to be writing about other experiences, but what came out was all the wit and wisdom of my grandmother. And I had, up until that point, I had no idea that she had that much impact on who I was as who I am as a person. And the other thing I wanted to, what your comment made me think about, is that a lot of tough parents are considered bad parents sometimes. Because I think of, and I know this may be controversial, but I know there's a lot of discussion about Joe Jackson. And I don't really know that story in detail, so I really don't know what I'm talking about, but it's my opinion. Is that if you got all of those kids and all of them ended up in success, being successful in some way, somehow, that wasn't an accident. And the alternative of what they could have been doing and what they could have become on the bad side of that is just unreal when you talk about the number of kids that they had. So he couldn't have been as bad as what people may say he was, because it just statistically doesn't make sense. Now, was he a parent that kids like? Maybe not, but something was right about it.
Well, I think that...
Well, absolutely. We're all doing the best we can, I guess.
So, Evie, I just want to say that you may not be
a medical doctor, but you are the master doctor at Biz University, selling, teaching entrepreneurs how to market themselves. So I know your work, and you're just a different kind of doctor.
Thank you, Peggy.
For
it's Biz University. There's another school by Biz University. It's Biz University. But thank you, Peggy, and thank you for your leadership.
Appreciate you.
And thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
And I'll even piggyback really quick on what we were all saying there, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there this weekend for sure. But how about this? Yeah, we're talking about training our children, but are we training our minds in the same form or fashion, no matter how old we are now? Are you training your mind in that same form or fashion in order to accomplish those dreams and endeavors that you so desire for your kids? Or are you just saying, oh, I can't do it now, so I'm going to do it with my kids? And I think that's one of the biggest fallacies out there. We're never too old. We're never too young to accomplish our goals and our dreams. Food for thought.
Oh, that is so true. That is so. I'm a little bit older than you, Peter. And I don't know if Anna's on, but you know, I know that, you know, educating ourselves, learning new systems, like you're talking about Instagram. Ursula, are you on Instagram?
I am, but I've just decided to try to really use it a little bit more. I'm more Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but you know the one I use is Facebook because that's where I get a lot of my business.
So I have to tell you, Peter, you talked about Instagram, and I pushing myself to learn it, but somehow I pressed the wrong button, and I got 7,000 people following me. Who are definitely not people I want following me. And it took my young niece, we were all together as a family 2 weeks ago, and she's talking about Instagram. I said, I did something wrong. I don't understand. All I see is images that are not the images that I want to see. And she took my phone and blah, 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 blah. 2 seconds later, she goes, what did you do? And she goes, this is not the way Instagram works. I was like, so now I'm learning Instagram. So you're right. Old dog.
Good for you.
We learn new tricks. We just have to.
Okay, yeah. So here's how my brain works. If you have that many people, maybe you need to find a product that you can market to them. It's like, don't let that go. That's something I would love to have. Now, I'm only joking because it could be a pop. I get it.
Ursula, trust me, I'll show you it. It's not something we want to go to.
Okay, all right, I trust you.
Okay,
so that we have to control the imagination as well, I guess.
That's right. So just, this is a perfect timing. Can you tell us about shiftyourmindset.com?
Yeah, you guys are so funny.
We
want to get on that topic.
Huh?
You're funny. So shiftyourmindset.com is my coaching website that I possess. I'm very proud of it, which I created myself, of course, and just guiding people to kind of reflect on themselves and maybe even connect with somebody. The big thing is that. From a coaching perspective, a great coach is not going to give you all the answers, but a great coach is going to try to pull the answers out of you so that you can accomplish what you desire and become the high achiever that you desire as well. So definitely shiftyourmindset.com. Please check it out. I also do a Monday morning minute email or text message that I put out every single Monday morning. If you go to the website, you can see the banner across the top and how you can subscribe to that as well.
Great job.
Okay. And with that, you asked about Anne. Well, for our listening audience, you know Anne. Anne is motivating the world. She's not able to close it out for us today, but we have had a wonderful show. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Pagin, and the people calling in. But it is time to say goodbye for today and come back next week. So any parting words from Pagin and Peter, and then we will close it out.
So I will encourage everyone to pick up your Think and Grow Rich. Go and read Imagination, because imagination is the fuel that ignites our souls and our heart. Imagination is how we tap in, tune in, and get turned on for the possibilities of who we are and what we can achieve in this world. And always, always, always remember that it is critical that you be powerful, be you, lead with impact, influence, and the ability to inspire others. I'm so happy I'm here today.
And Peter?
Very, very great. Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank Anne, Ursula, and Pagin for this wonderful conversation this morning. Definitely to piggyback on what Pagin just mentioned there, definitely pick up this book, Think and Grow Rich. It's really really allow it to sink into your subconscious, really allow yourself to dive into the words and reflect on them and meditate on them, because they can really, it can really change your life. Even though it was written so long ago, it's really applicable to what you can do today and moving forward. So thank you all once again.
All right. And thank you. Now for our listening audience, if you would like to get a copy of the book, the ISBN number is going to be given to you in a few minutes or in a second or two. Go get the book. Read along with us. Join us next week and think and grow rich. Take care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.